Sadly, the sound had totally gone, and her lips moved and smiled in total silence.
Must be Guinevere.
Who else would it be, Tanner?
Pardon me, dear Mildred. How often do I get the opportunity to utilize my knowledge in these barbaric lands?
More often than is useful or relevant.
Guilty as charged.
After a few minutes, Dean began to get restless.
Boring. Can't we go on one more ride?
Sure. The Helter Skelter's still working. We're nearly finished. Haven't been in here for an age. Boss Larry likes it. Comes with his mute some evenings.
Only one more alcove remained. The first of the group tripped the floor contact that set the hologram into operation, a ball of shimmering light that slowly resolved itself into the head and shoulders of a man. A man who was immensely fat, with long silver hair. As he moved a hand in regal greeting, rings glittered on every finger. He wore a tiny golden crown perched on the top of his head, looking like a wedding ring on a side of beef.
Boss Larry!
Kelly was equally surprised.
Yeah, this wasn't here last time I came through. I told you, the guy's a techno brain.
I am Arthur the King, Baron of Greenglades, and Lord of England. Athos the Bear, Uther Pendragon, Monarch of all Heathaways, and ruler of... a ruler of fucking nothing.
Guess that's it, people.
But Larry Zapp hadn't finished.
Enjoy your time in this magic park.
The image leaned forward, blurring, making Dean take an uneasy step back.
Clap your hands if you want to be happy. I wished to carry the sword into the sunset and light a light this day that shall... Once she's gone, I stopped caring.
A tear shone on the face of the ghostly monarch.
I am Arthur, last of the line. The last.
The hologram finally faded away, and the corridor became dark and silent. Doc finally broke the stillness.
On the mirror, the wailing died away.
It was a relief for all of them to get outside again, into the sunshine. The Helter Skelter was a tall tower painted in flowing, hallucinogenic stripes of brilliant colors. It had been decorated more recently than any of the other rides in the park.
Climb up inside, and when you reach the top, you just sit down and slide down the polished chute. Who wants to go first?
Kelly looked around the group for a volunteer.
Looks boring, but I'll give it a go first.
I used to go on things like this. I'll keep you company.
Cool, Mildred.
The sun was behind the clouds, and the shallow-sided bed of the chute gleamed dully like pewter. Doc shook his head.
I fear that these old limbs are beyond such frivolity, my dear Sky. You go, and I shall remain here below and wave encouragingly.
Ryan?
Hell no.
Kelly glanced at his wrist chron.
Better get moving, people.
Dean went first, with Mildred at his heels, then Sky and Christy last. Brian positioned himself at the bottom of the ride, looking upward into the dull sky. The Helter Skelter loomed over him, its fluorescent colors bringing back a moment of dizziness. He could just see Dean waving a small fist to him as the boy sat on the top of the ride, ready to push off.
Here I come, Dad!
Ryan waved a hand. Mildred was also in sight, pressing a hand to her temple, making Ryan wonder if she was suffering from one of her occasional migraine headaches. The sun came out, slicing across the park, bringing every detail of the ride into stark relief. The bottom of the chute now shone like silver, and near the last curve, Ryan suddenly noticed other pinpoints of diamond light. He leaned forward, vaguely aware of his son's yelping voice speeding nearer to him. What could gleam so brightly, looking like tiny slivers of jagged, razored steel? Dean was only one single turn away from the last stretch.
Stop! Stop there! Hold the sides! Dean, hold onto the sides!
Ryan somehow managed to keep his voice clear and sharp, avoiding a note of panic, which might have freaked the boy. Fortunately, 10 years of surviving in Deathlands had given Dean excellent reflexes. He grabbed at the edges of the run, bracing himself with his new boots, the sole squeaking at the fierce pressure. Behind him, the others had all heard Ryan's warning shout, everyone managing to stop without sliding into anyone else. JB shook his head.
Old can tops and broken fragments of knives and chisels. Section of a crosscut saw. All drilled into the base of the chute. Someone really wanted to do some hurt.
Kelly, his face pale, glanced up the curved length of the helter-skelter to where the sun caught the reddish hair of Sky.
Best they come down slowly, and we'll help them all off. Safer than trying to climb way back up the slide.
Dean was first away, swinging himself agilely into his father's arms, running around to look at the metal splinters, all angled toward anyone riding down.
I'd have gone... I had my legs open and... There's some sick bastards in this ville, Dad.
Can't argue with you there, boy.
Doc was the last to come into Ryan and Christie's bedroom for supper.
Sorry I'm a trifle tardy, my friends. I was somewhat detained.
Mildred was sitting at the round table near the front door to the suite, spooning at a thick fish gumbo.
Detained, Doc? How's the little girl?
Who?
Come on, Doc. One way of looking at it. Is that you're old enough to be her great-great-great-great-great...
Nonsense. Absolute hogwash and taradiddle, Dr. Wyeth. Admittedly, Sky is somewhat younger than I am, but age is no deterrent. In my day, such couplings were quite commonplace.
Because women died in childbirth, but times have changed.
Back to what they once were.
Are you joking us, Doc?
J.B. broke a fresh-baked sourdough roll in half and reached for the butter.
No, I think not. The young lady is far from happy with being a member of Adam Traven's posse, as the diminutive psychopath calls it.
Are you saying that Skye wants to come join us, Doc? You think she'd fit in?
And why not, pray tell?
Did you forget about Lori?
I don't see what...
Hell, Jack rode plenty of good miles with us, and he was about as far out of the obsolete as you can get. Well, but we're going to be away soon. Probably tomorrow, Doc. Where's the girl now?
She is a young lady, Ryan, and I would be obliged if you could all remember that salient fact.
I'm sorry. Where is she?
She said that Traven insisted that everyone in his group was together at night. Sky also told me some things about the way that he dominates the young people. It is, I am reluctant to admit, like the description you used, Mildred. The man appears to be the worst kind of bullying control freak.
Ryan wiped his mouth with a threadbare linen napkin. He looked with some reluctance at the pile of uneaten crab claws, but decided he'd reached his capacity.
Doc, one thing. Since Jack went, I think all of us have sort of been looking for someone to replace him. Now that's wrong. Check Lauren's safe with Christina Ballinger in New Mexico now. I hope. Life moves on. But if Sky wants to join us, and there's no problem, then there's no problem.
That is spoken like a gentleman and a scholar, my dear Ryan. Now, those crab claws appear quite delicious. Or perhaps the deviled whitebait. Maybe even both. Is that caper sauce with a grilled sole? I vow that I have rarely encountered a baron who took such care over the inner man.
Later, the party split up into its current components. Doc returned to his own room and watched some vids of a television series that Boss Larry piped through. Ryan and Christie tried to watch it, but it seemed a plot of such staggering complexity that they gave up on it.
It wasn't the giant and the dwarf, or the damn fine coffee and the cherry pie. It was the woman who was dead, then Japanese, then alive again.
Mildred and JB had also made their excuses and retired to their suite along the corridor. Dean had gone to bed early, then got up and shyly asked if he could come in with Ryan and Christie.
Tell me stories about all the dirt bastards you chilled, Dad.
Ryan shook his head.
Too many, and it's too late, son. Man remembers all his enemies, and he never locks himself into the present or the future.
You remember some enemies?
Two. Court Strasser. A skull-faced sec boss of a frontier ville. Ran into him two more times. Now he's gone to rot forever. The other was a Ruski.
You knew a Ruski?
A man called Zimyanyan. I'll tell you that story sometime, Dean. A bald bastard. Nearly chilled me. Last time I saw him was through a gateway door in some great